Trust the plan, pain coming. Boom, boom, boom.
Let's go.
RedStateTalkRadio.com, Brighteon.tv, Rumble.com/MG Show. The end won't be for everyone. That choice to know will be yours. Where we go one, we go all. Fight, 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 and fight we will. We fight every day right here on the MG Show.
Oh, my God. We fight right here every day on the MG Show. Wow, it is. I can't believe it's March. March Madness is ensuing in the year of 2023. Oh, my gosh. Shady Groove, let's get on in here. We got a great show for everyone today. Come on in here, my partner in justice.
Man, I am really loving 2023. We are seeing the unbelievable behemoth of the deep state being taken apart piece by piece. You're watching it right before your eyes every single day. And I think that all of you out there deserve a really big pat on the back for standing up for America, for being the American that you want to be. Everybody out there, welcome to the show.
That's right. And we've got an amazing guest today. It's going to be Tara Reid, who actually... came out during the midst of, you know, the COVID stuff. She got, you know, thrown under the rug, but we're going to let her come out here, and she's got a podcast. I mean, you're going to love her, and we're going to hear her story from her, not the mainstream leftist propaganda mags. You know how it is. So we're going to have Tara Reid, and she's going to tell her story. But for Shady Groove, we're not sponsored by Lucifizer. We're sponsored by you, the people, and we're actually sponsored today by Field of Greens, fieldofgreens.com, an actual sponsor, guys. Fieldofgreens.com is amazing, guys. You know, I'm taking it. I'm going to the gym, you know, and I admit it. I don't always make the best food choices, but it's not like, you know, when I was a kid, when Mama Major was saying, eat your veggies. Oh, gosh. And I'd feed them to the dog underneath the table. But fast forward to today. Here we are. There's zero chance I'm eating what the doctor recommended. Now I am, because I'm taking my six cups of fruits and vegetables every day, five cups, which is why I take Field of Greens at fieldofgreens.com. Use that code MGSHOW. To let them know that we sent you. Field of Greens is powered by a full spectrum of essential vegetables and fruits and science-backed herbs and probiotics, and that's what I need to stay healthy. It works fast. Field of Greens works very fast. It allowed me to get the energy to go to the gym. The hardest part about getting to the gym is getting through the door. I tell you what, and I'm going to the gym. I'm going through the door. I'm taking my Field of Greens. This is what it looks like right here. And if you're like me, you'll have more energy. You'll feel healthier, and you will, you know, look healthier. Your skin as well. Talking about the nails and everything, and it helps you lose the weight. Simple. Back to the basics, guys. The nutrition and exercise is the answer. So nutrition first. But try to get to that exercise in there. You know, the pharmaceutical companies, they want to give your kids, you know, weight loss pills. They want to, if it's really bad, they want to do surgery on your kids. No, how about exercise and eating healthy with fieldofgreens.com using code MGSHOW. It's simple nutrition with results so powerful that when I take my next physical, Shady, guess what? I expect my doc will compare my old lab work to my new lab work and say, keep doing what you're doing. So join me and Shady. And take Field of Greens too, and help you get started. We're going to get you 15% off and 10% off if you subscribe. Use that promo code MGSHOW at fieldofgreens.com. Again, fieldofgreens.com, using that code MGSHOW. And we'll be right back with Tara Reid right after these beautiful boom announcements.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, and political instability, they all have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. They can also cause gold and silver to go up. There's a time to be in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and there's a time to get out. This is the time to hold gold and silver. Kirk Elliott, double PhD, has been protecting individual Americans' assets for more than two decades.
Hi, I'm Kirk Elliott. There is no such thing as a bad investment. There is only bad timing for investments. And now is the time to own gold and silver.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, a 401k, and of course, outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets. Please call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900, for gold, silver, and undeniable economic protection against out-of-control government.
Support the guys and mention MG Show when you call.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back.
The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time, when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit MyPillow.com.
And welcome back to the MG Show. And we are not going to leave Tara Reid out, left out. When the Truth Doesn't Fit is the book that she wrote. Shady Groove, let's just bring in Tara Reid right now. Tara, welcome to the MG Show.
Come on over.
thanks for joining us.
Well, you know, you've been amazing. You know, we are working with a great publicist. We want to say hello and thank you to Stacey for helping this show out quite a bit as well. She introduced us to you.
Maybe on AC. Is he in his office?
She is. She's amazing. I got Yeti in my headphones. That's cool.
Hey, Yeti, we can see you.
Tara, so we got left out when the truth doesn't fit. I know that this happened. Wasn't this during the COVID times? And it was actually, you know, Joe Biden's Me Too moment. And it was severely ignored. I mean, we want to give you, you know, the time to introduce yourself and just kind of tell the story. I mean, we'll give you the floor here. If we have questions from the audience, we'll take those questions as well. But, you know, just tell us what happened, because, you know, you see this guy running around smelling everybody and, you know, just acting like a fool. And this is not a joke. This is actually a very serious thing that we're going to be discussing today with Tara Reid. Tara, please just introduce yourself. Tell us, you know, a little bit about yourself and then go from there.
Well, you know, I've right now I'm moving forward with my life after coming forward about my time working for Joe Biden. And, you know, I was sexually harassed and he sexually assaulted me when I was in my 20s. So it was in 1993 and I was just starting my career and really wanted to be in politics and very interested in geopolitics. I had been an actress in the past, studied classical theater and all of that, and then got really in college, got, you know, ignited into geopolitics, particularly international. And when I got the, I had interned for Leon Panetta, I'd worked congressional races as an operative, and I was a Democrat for all practical purposes. I was, you know, at that time. And, you know, I remained a Democrat until I left the Democratic Party in 2019. I don't know if they've noticed, but I did leave. And many people left. I came forward because in 1993, you know, here I was, bright and shiny, going out to DC, thinking I'm starting my career. I didn't know it was the end, because when I went to work for Joe Biden, he behaved very differently than what I experienced, like, for instance, in Leon Panetta's office, which is a very businesslike, straightforward, what you would imagine office on the Hill. Joe Biden was different. You know, he's very, he gets in people's spaces. He's very with women in particular, and in my case, he would put his hands underneath on my shoulder, underneath my hair, and he would do certain things. And I thought it was weird. He was old enough to be my father at the time, and I looked up to him as a possible mentor. So I was really, he didn't look at me in any particular way. I seemed more like a thing, like a lamp or a piece of furniture than a person, right? So there was no flirtation. There was nothing like that. It was very sudden. But when I was working for him is when the sexual assault happened. And it happened when I was bringing him a gym bag. It was very sudden. Like I said, there was no flirtation, no nothing. I handed him the bag. He had me up against the wall and he sexually assaulted me. Had it been criminally prosecuted, it would have been rape. And forced me, and I said no, and I got away from him, and he got angry, and he got his fingers in my face. And one of the things, you know, that I've talked about is that it wasn't just the assault itself, which is very intense, but it was also the fact that he said, you know, you're nothing to me. And oh I God. Knew I was a young person working for him. I knew that was the end of my career. And my whole body was shaking. I sat down on the stairs. I remember trying to gather myself and realizing my career was over. That was that. He had the power to end it, and he did. And I did want to come forward. I wanted to make a police report, but I was too scared. My mom wanted me to. She ended up, by the way, months later, calling Larry King live and trying to talk about it. So that piece of evidence has come forward as well. And anyway, I did file a sexual harassment report, but it was a piece of paper and I wanted to talk to a person. So I was waiting to get to the sexual assault. Like I wanted to talk to someone about what happened. I filed it with the Senate. It's disappeared. Some people say it's in the in his files in the University of Delaware. He has sealed files. I don't know. I've been unable to get it. I've tried with lawyers. I think another firm has tried to unseal those files, and they said it wasn't in the public interest to do so.
And apparently there's more files that came forward just yesterday. So what he does is he steals classified files and puts them where the vet is, and you know, in the, you know, what was it, in the Penn Biden Center, and now somewhere in Boston.
Yeah, and see, in the University of Delaware, they are not subject to FOIA, which is Freedom of Information Act. So he has those files sealed, and I'm wondering if there's other complaints that may have been filed against him, not just mine. But so then, you know, I had an assistant press secretary who knew I filed this sexual harassment at the time, and he said to me, you know, Tara, if you go forward with this, we will effing destroy you. And this is when I was in my 20s. So I knew, and they weren't joking. Like that's how they operate. Like the Clintons, like they operate like the mafia. They're just awful. I mean, I didn't really know the depth of evil at the time. In 2019, I really got to know the depth of it because I saw seven women come forward about Joe Biden. They were getting eviscerated by the media, right? Lucy Flores was a young politician. You don't hear her anymore. She came forward about Biden being inappropriate. She's wiped off the map, right? They were calling her every name under the book. And I decided at that point to go forward. I talked about the sexual harassment. I was immediately called by Edward Isaac Dovier of The Atlantic. I was immediately called a Russian asset and brushed aside. Finally, they covered my story somewhat, but then they started doing hit pieces, New York Times, Washington Post. I became like a whipping post for these people, for legacy media, for all of 2020 on social media. I was threatened. I lost work. I lost housing. Someone threatened to kidnap my horse, to kill it, to kill me, to kill my family. My daughter had threats. My daughter had someone try to break into her house. I mean, it was relentless and it was definitely orchestrated. And, you know, people listening know the evil, the depths of evil of this Biden administration, and I experienced it firsthand. And now we're experiencing it collectively. So I continued to tell my truth. I decided to write that book, Left Out When the Truth Doesn't Fit In. I started writing op-eds for RT International, which is now censored, because they saw me for who I was. I have a law degree. I have background with political geopolitics and analysis and writing. And I decided to push forward and to own my narrative and own what happened. I don't have any shame about what happened to me. It happened to me, but it doesn't define me. And I'm a whole person. I'm not just the person that came forward about Joe Biden. Unfortunately, he's president of the United States, so that makes things a little dicey. And I was sharing with you off camera that, you know, the Twitter files right now in the news. DOJ, for instance, took all my communications, including Twitter, under sealed warrants. And those warrants were revealed. I got a hold of the warrants. I wasn't even supposed to see them. They impaneled a grand jury. I still don't know what the case is about. But basically, what I've been told by another investigative journalist is that it looked like Biden's administration wanted to see what investigative journalists were looking into my story. They wanted to see all my communications. So you have this corrupt president weaponizing and using his resources and power to not just silence me, but anyone of dissent. Like, and I would liken this to the Hunter laptop, the way they silenced and censored the New York Post. So it's not, it's entities, it's companies, it's people. You know, I was threatened with prison. They tried, because I was an expert witness for domestic violence victims, they try to pull all that testimony and say, I perjured myself. I never lied about my education. My name was cleared, but the New York Times and CNN never issued a retraction. Never. They never corrected their reporting. And, you know, hats off to Ryan Grimm, because he called them out on it and they still wouldn't go back and revisit it. And so now where I'm at now is waiting for that congressional hearing, that investigation into Joe Biden, because I said I would testify under oath, and I will, about what happened to me, about how I was forced to resign after I filed a sexual harassment claim, about how I was sexually assaulted by the now sitting US president, and about how I was threatened and coerced. And, you know, and now I think they've done, in my mind, more crimes by the way they've weaponized, used his power to weaponize taxpayer agencies to go after someone he doesn't like and doesn't want speaking. So I've had to stay really strong, and it's been hard sometimes, but other people are doing it too. You know, today you have Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger testifying before Congress about what they know about the Twitter files and about the collusion. And that's what we have to keep doing on platforms like yours. We have to keep bringing forth the truth, and we cannot stop until it's heard.
You know, Tara, you bring up a great point. You know, you were talking about, you know, Matt Taibbi. They're saying that he's not a good journalist, or you know, this guy's been working for the
so-called journalist. So-called journalist. He won awards, and he's written how many New York Times bestselling books, and he's an investigative journalist. I mean, this is how the Democrats operate. They attack the person so that they dehumanize them, so that you don't care anymore what they're saying. You just see them as a bad person. That's their tactic.
That's great. That's a great way to put it. And that's what they did to you. Oh, well, your education. What about the information that she just brought forth? You know, this is not a joke. And they were in charge of this whole Me Too movement. And then, you know, Joe Biden.
Well, that's
oh, my God.
There's
gosh.
Not even whispers of that. And if you recall, I went to Time's Up, right? I didn't even get into that. Time's Up, which was supposed to be this agency, this nonprofit agency funded by a bunch of celebrities, right? Run by a bunch of former Obama staff. Anita Dunn, Hillary Rosen, Tina Chen, they all personally, financially benefited from this agency. They've been now dismantled, and they had to step down in shame because of how corrupt they were. They went after the Cuomo survivors. They went after me. They politicized it. I went to them for help, not knowing. And they took the information I had and gave it to Biden and his team to try to go after me. They got caught with emails or text messages that said, this is between the Cuomo Upper Level staff and Time's Up, saying, look at what just happened with Tara Reid and Joe Biden. You can now victim shame on the record. And then was giving them tactics of how to go after victims. They literally, Time's Up was literally a catch and kill for these powerful Democrats. And so it's now been dismantled. There's no Time's Up anymore. I don't know what happened to all the millions that they were supposed to help women with. But that was another piece to my story, another facet that was really disheartening. And I think, you know, right now we're just living in a land of lies, like a land of lies. Be it January 6th, COVID, you know, and the Twitter files, my story, Hunter Biden laptop, it's all just been suppressed to keep these people in power. And this, you know, the Chuck Schumers and Nancy Pelosi's and Joe Biden's.
Yeah, I mean, we even the 2020 election fraud. I mean, you know, I do believe that this man did not get 80. Well, maybe he got 81 million votes, but not 81 million people. You know, so you said you left the Democrat Party in 2019. What is your party affiliation, if you want to disclose that now? Are you independent, Republican?
I'm independent and proudly independent right now. And I just spoke at the anti-war rally, the Rage Against the War Machine. And that was brought together with the People's Party and the Libertarians. And the Libertarians led the charge for, like, hey, let's not spend $100 billion in Ukraine. Let's try doing American infrastructure and taking care of American citizens. Why are we giving pension to Ukrainians? I don't understand.
That makes too much sense. Come on, stop it. I mean, we've got our infrastructure that needs to be rebuilt. I mean, look at the trains, right? Look at, you know, the roads, look at everything. You know, you go look at all the other countries that we're helping. They've got, you know, state of the art, everything. Our country is becoming, and I hate to use that term, a shithole And wouldn't
it's,
that
it's a failed state. It's a failed state. Yeah. You know, I am a producer right now on the Kim Iverson show, and she's exclusively on Rumble. You know, Kim Iverson's a brave soul. She's one of those people that was trying to tell the truth about COVID, right? And look what happened to her. They wouldn't let her on the Hill. They wouldn't let her interview Fauci. And now it's all coming out about the lab leaks that weren't wild conspiracy theories. It might be true. It's all coming out about Fauci's personal and financial benefits and his corruption. And, you know, so you have brave souls out there like Kim Iverson, like Matt Taibbi, like Michael Schellenberger, like Ryan Grimm, like yourselves. And but you all got censored and pulled down as well.
We have a saying, we're always right, or we're always wrong until we're right. And that seems to be this pattern that we're noticing. Oh, you guys are conspiracy. Oh, no, not conspiracy. Oh, no, that's a conspiracy. Oh, well, now that's true. Oh, no, it's amazing.
Here we are.
We were very loud again.
Look how they're going after Tucker. I mean, oh my gosh. I think he's had because I had a lot of hit pieces, but now he's surpassed all my hit pieces. They're just going after him. They're even trying to talk about criminal charges. And, you know, I mean, this is how crazy the Democratic Party has gotten. It also shows their desperation because their lies and narrative is falling apart.
I'd like to read this Rumble rant from Stefanon. She's one of our mods over at t.me/mgshow. We have a Telegram channel, and she says this. As a victim of sexual abuse, I just want to say that we hear you and believe you, and God bless you.
Oh, well, thank you. That means a lot. Yeah. That's so good.
It's hit my heart, you know, because I, you know, the way that these people treat women and just, you know, psychopaths in general, you know, from all walks of life, you know, but this one went all the way to the top. And understand just from the way that they reacted that your story is 100% over the target. You know, when you're taking a lot of flack, you're probably over the target.
Yeah, it's been relentless. And I had a banking app, and I would get paid for international writing when I would do op-eds or whatever on this banking app called Wise. And they shut down, and I can't appeal it. I'm banned from it. I can't ever use it. They don't say why.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to think about whenever you pull yourself back, everybody, just kind of like, you know, put yourself in her position just for a second to think that, you know, a young person who really doesn't know a lot that's up there on Capitol Hill. And then for that to evolve into him being able to silence you by hiding the records or sending it over to the University of Delaware. And like you were saying, it really does look like an operation, a mafia type operation. This is the way that they function. And more than likely, you are not the only one. More than likely, Joe Biden is not the only one hiding information like this at a university somewhere. And so I think that we're getting a really good sense of this uniparty after the whole Tucker thing just the other day, because Mitch McConnell and Mitt Romney and Chuck Schumer, there was really no difference between the way these people acted. And it really was it looked like they were irritated that people had found out stuff about their little secret club.
You know, and isn't it interesting that whenever we get that close to the truth, right, then something happens to try to evoke sympathy. Now, I'm not saying that he fell like what Mitch McConnell did fall, apparently, but like now he's in the hospital. But like, you know, I don't know. It just seems like there's always some sort of media spin to like, yeah, they did bad things. But oh, look, he's vulnerable. He's 81 and he fell after a private dinner. He's probably drunk and he tripped. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't drink. I don't know. I feel bad for him. He's older. But this is the thing. This is the thing. You know, like what we need to look at is why do we have 80-plus-year-old representatives that have been in Congress for decades, fossilizing in their seats, becoming multimillionaires? That was not the intent of our founding fathers. You're supposed to go do your public service and go back to your farm or go back to your business or back to public life.
You know, look at, you weren't like Maxine Waters. $4 million home. You know, look at all the people. You know, you're exactly right. If you're a public servant, which is what they're supposed, they're not officials, they're servants. They're allegedly elected by us. And, you know, Donald, take Donald Trump out of the picture. I've been saying that there's been, that these votes have been rigged since, you know, Lincoln days. And, you know, we've actually seen that. But, you know, in Chicago, it was always, oh, they're stuffing the ballot. I mean, we stuffed the ballot in Chicago, the Windy City. I don't think these people are actually really elected. And, you know, now when you talk about election integrity, you're now called an election denier. I do agree elections, I'm not a denier, they happen. So I'm not denying that elections happen, but I don't think the chain of custody is correct. I think that, you know, these people that are 80 years old in Congress, I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi's own area where she resides. Look at all the people, you know, doing drugs and homeless. I mean, this is shameful. So I do think that there's something to this election integrity.
Absolutely. I think there needs to be term limits for sure. I mean, like, what are we doing with these, you know, why is it that Barack Obama became a multimillionaire when he was making $100,000 a year within 4 years? How are they getting these multimillions and why? And then, of course, they don't want to leave office because they have power and influence and, you know, all that money, right? So, you know, of course, going back to the mafia thing, remember it was recently Biden didn't know his mic was on and was talking to some other official and said, nobody F's with a Biden. I mean, that's the president of the United States saying that, but that's what he was like. That's what he was like then. It's what he's like now, even as sometimes not very lucid he is at times. But still, that sort of hostility, that anger came through. It came through on the campaign trail when he would go after people that would challenge him. He'd get really angry, remember? And lose it. Yeah, and lose it. And I just and then of course you have the Trump derangement syndrome where everybody was going after Trump. And now Tucker Carlson, you know, bless his heart, he's like bringing through all this truth and, you know, bringing out the tapes. And what it's revealing is the narrative we've been told for 26 months was all lies. And it's I think people are really kind of opening their eyes to the fact, because once you see, you can't unsee it, you know, and they're opening the eyes of how manipulated legacy media, mainstream media are, you know. I think it's happening.
If we look at the news, look at this, they're going after Tucker Carlson hates Trump. Wouldn't that actually make it better that if Tucker Carlson doesn't like Trump and he's exposing this January 6th insurrection as crap, wouldn't that make it more plausible? So their own attacks are kind of stupid, you know?
Yeah, and it's also, but it's a tactic, right? They're trying to divide Trump away from Tucker because Tucker has so much influence. So it's a double-edged thing. They're trying to divide and conquer. It's, you know, the Democrats, and I can tell you this from working from them, it's very, it is diabolical. There are plans and there are coordinated efforts and for disinformation, but also to try to control narratives. And it's, you know, when I was doing it, we didn't have the social media like you do now. So there's a lot to weaponize. You have like, really America is a super PAC, right? So it's hard to trace the money, but it got shown that really America pays this guy named Brooklyn Dad, who's all over Twitter and goes after anyone who's a Trump supporter or anyone with right leaning views or even lefties that just are anti-war. So you have them paying. This guy was, I think, getting thousands of dollars per month to just tweet. And that's his job. So they have a lot of money from certain individuals that donate. And because they can't donate always to elected officials, they'll donate to super PACs. And those super PACs are the ones that are kind of, you know, out there trying to control narratives and media.
Yeah, you know, what we found is they all have foundations and for a reason. And, you know, Arabella Advisors, which is Eric Kessler, which he used to work for the Clintons at one time. And, you know, and then he's got this for-profit organization called Arabella Advisors that has five funds underneath it where Hans-Jörg Wyss, Pierre Omidyar, George Soros, and other foreign and domestic billionaires funnel the money into the 1630 fund where Paige Herwig and Jen Psaki worked. And then they have all these fake pop-up funds, 350 last time we counted plus, to make it look like they're real, but they're not. And it's all being paid by foreign and domestic billionaires to change our country. I mean,
I know.
This institutional pyramid scheme that they have running against we the people, in my opinion, should be the third pillar of election integrity. We've got to get the foreign billionaire influence out.
Yeah, and look how they weaponize. If you mention election integrity, you're called a conspiracy theorist. And you know what? Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be the way, because the election integrities of elections is something that has to be checked and balanced all the time. And it's something that we don't have anymore. We have too much money invested in influence, as you were pointing out. I mean, like, let's go back to Hillary Clinton claiming that Russian influence made it so she didn't win. She didn't go to Wisconsin. I lived on a farm in Wisconsin when I was a kid. You got to go to Wisconsin. Sorry, but you want votes. That's a hub of labor right there. And, you know, and Chicago for us was the big city, but you know, we're not just all cows and cheese curds out there. It's, you got to go to Wisconsin and get votes. And she didn't do it. And she lost the election because of that, not because of the Russians.
Say one thing, Miss Cheesehead, I'm a fib. Nice to meet you.
I do have a serious question about that. Okay, so I went to New York and I had New York pizza, and I just went to Chicago not too long ago and I had Chicago pizza. Now I'm torn. Like, I love Chicago pizza, but yeah, New York was pretty good. What do you think? Yeah,
So there's two types of Chicago pizza. There's the thick crust that you probably had from Gino's or, yes, you know, some of the others. But then there's the thin crust that we get every day on our regular ones that is actually cut into squares. I think the thin crust Chicago with the sausage is better. But New York pizza is also good. I worked in Manhattan, so I had the floppy pizzas. But sometimes I don't want a floppy pizza where I get all messy, you know? And sometimes I do. Okay. Really, I think they're both great. I'm going to say that they're both great.
I think this is the most important part of the debate of the whole show, actually, right?
Really? This is absolutely.
Okay, let's
we got to get audience weigh in. Chicago or New York? Come on, weigh in. Chicago,
New York, in the chat box. Let's see. Chicago pizza or New York pizza? Which one do you like the best? We'll see what they say. Let's go about this. Is all things Tara Reid. You can go to Tara Reid podcast, TarareadePodcast.com, because she has a name similar to somebody else named Tara Reid. She's Tara, but she's Tara. It's all confusing.
I'm Tara.
That's
okay. Tara. She's Tara.
And you're better. So this is if you want to help her out. Okay, guys, please help her out. Subscribe to her podcast on Substack. Follow her on Telegram. I didn't know you had a Telegram. We'll get that on our Telegram channel too. And Twitter. I'm not there yet, but I will be eventually. You got a YouTube, so we got that. And the Rumble. You know, we're a little more loyal to Rumble since we're still not back on YouTube. Patreon, please support her any way you can. Rockfin, you can PayPal, Odyssey, buy the book, follow her on Twitch. But buy the book, guys. This is probably the best way to help her out. You know, one of the best ways to help her out besides the PayPal and everything. But this, you can buy hardcover for $17.54, Left Out, When the Truth Doesn't Fit, guys. This is where she shares the aftermath and the re-victimization of speaking out about her sexual assault with then Senator Joe Biden in 1993. Was that about the time where he had his head cut off and his brain removed?
He had hair plugs. And I remember those.
That's what happened to his brain.
it was the hair plugs.
Plugs absorbed all of his brains.
You know, I really appreciate you raising that up. And I really think, you know, like I mentioned to your audience, I'm now an independent, but I've been really sad to see the way our own government has gone after Republicans and Republican supporters of Trump. It's in my opinion, in some ways, it's illegal. There's been a legal action that's happened targeting Americans just voicing their opinions, right? But it's also an erosion of our values and our freedom of speech and freedom of media, press. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Exactly. And one thing that we discuss a lot is the ideological reality of this. You know, I mean, like, look at what they're doing. Look at the way that they're changing the way people think about things. The idea that, you know, if you were to say X, then you're going to be excommunicated from society. And so it's interesting the way they set up these gatekeepers around the edges of what, you know, whenever I was young, there was really, you know, like, people would laugh at you if you got over serious about politics. I mean, really, I mean, we didn't take it that seriously. And now they've, after the Bush and Obama administration, weaponized politics and turned us against one another, where we can no longer stand in a room and point to the politicians and say, those are the idiots. And instead, we're standing in a room attacking each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really sad. Yeah. It is.
It's a division tactic. You know, they want us divided by race. They want us divided by religion. They want us divided by party. They want us divided by sex. They want us divided by everything. And it's, you know, their PSYOP is working very well, sadly. But I think a lot of people,
There's people pushing back, like the Rage Against the War Machine that we just had in DC. There's 2,500 people there, and there were libertarians, conservatives, lefties, communists. I mean, like, you wouldn't believe the array of people that were there with all different political views, but there was a unifying message, which was free Julian Assange and no more endless wars. We shouldn't have pivoted from Afghanistan to Ukraine. And the you know, I mean, come on, $100 billion plus to Ukraine. People want it to stop. And, you know, what I have said is this, you know, Joe Biden didn't ask for my consent, right? And that was the heart of this issue for me and my personal case. And now I watch him govern, and he's not asking U.S. citizens' consent. They're just taking us to war and taking us to the brink of nuclear war. This is probably one of the most dangerous times in history, in my opinion. I've never seen anything like it, where we're not taking on one superpower, but we're also contemplating taking on another, China. Come on. Like, you know, what are we doing? And the only people benefiting are Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, all those weapons manufacturers. Yeah. And by the way, I interned for Leon Panetta, as I mentioned, and he's trotting out on MSNBC, giving his opinion of pro-Ukraine and how we have to give him weapons. He sits on the board of Raytheon. So with these politicians go to these cush jobs afterwards, right?
Yeah.
And it needs to stop. Yeah.
It does need to stop. Again, left out when the truth doesn't fit in hardcover, go to Amazon.com and, you know, check it out. I don't know if Yeti has a short link or not, but, you know, get that book, guys. Help her out. Also, don't forget All Things Tara Reid. You want to go to Tara Reid Podcast, T-A-R-A-R-E-A-D-E podcast.com to, you know, support her, get the book and all that. So, you know, I have a funny question. You know, a lot of the analysts think that it's a different Joe Biden. So somebody wants to know, is this the same Joe Biden that you knew that's governing today?
You know, the arrogance and the blankness, the sociopathic. Yeah, that part's the same. But obviously he's not, like, when I knew him, he was very at the height of his power and very robust and in his 50s. So it was a different Joe Biden. But now he's frail and old and. Yeah.
And can't formulate it. So true to them under the pressure.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
So, you know, God bless you in coming out too. I know it's not easy to do. And I know this has consequences in our real life. And I hope that your real life is getting better after you came out, because, you know, the way that you were cyber bullied, attacked, the articles, negative articles. I mean, this is a woman in her 20s thinking that she was going to help change the world and want to do good for her country and got a job. Oh my gosh, she's working for Leon Panetta. And, you know, and then look what happens, guys. I mean, this is
Joe Biden. I know. Yeah.
And this was what happens in corporate America too. This is not just, this is a commonplace theme that I do see a lot in our society today. And it's gotta stop. And God bless you.
Well, a lot of stuff has to do with people not talking about it. And I think that part of what we have to do as Americans is get past this perspective of taking information in and then not talking about it. I would like to recommend you guys to get her book. Not only that, but to have discussions with people around you about what you read in the book, because those types of things aren't really going to get to them, because they're probably not going to sit down and read something. So it has to be a little bit of your stewardship as well to share with others what Tara's experiences were, because like Jeff was just saying, the media is ignoring her. Everybody's attacking her. People think that, you know, that she shouldn't even be listened to, when in all reality, she's explaining to you a pattern of behavior that is obviously continuing to now. And, you know, his maniacal Machiavellian ways up there, mafia ways, he's using those tactics against the American people right now. And the media is completely running cover for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well said. Yeah. So anything else that you would love to cover in this? This is, thank you graciously for coming on the MG show. We really do appreciate you. And I think you're going to garner a lot. Are you on Truth Social yet?
I am. I haven't really been active, but I'll try to get active on Truth Social. I will. And that's, you know, there's so many, like we get banned from one platform and then you go to another one and you know how it is, but I'm staying pretty solid with Rumble. I love that they don't have the censorship. I really love what they're trying to do with the channel. So, and you know, working for Kim Iverson on her show is really great as a producer, kind of behind the scenes. And then I have my podcast once a week, Politics of Survival, and I try to get some good guests on there. You know, we need to talk about Ukraine. We need to pressure our politicians to get out and not be part of that conflict anymore and not engage in this proxy war.
Yep, because I think we're going to find out is that the Ukraine biolabs are all connected to the lab leak in Wuhan, and the war in Ukraine is to cover up Biden and the